There was a time she stood so tall, a shining light above us all.
Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another show, Lucky Charm. I'll be your host, Charm, today, and so excited to have you here. And I have a beautiful, divine, special guest with me today, and I'm going to get right through it. I know we had a little bit of a later start. Thank you, BBS, for all your hard work, for your tenacious love and commitment to allowing the space for us to connect with each other. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. You know, when we're waiting, I don't know if anyone's ever experienced, I'm sure you have, when we're so excited for something, we're waiting for it. It seems like time just kind of goes a little bit slower. And I have been waiting for this day, and I'm so excited to introduce our guest, none other than Lucia Nicola Evans, who is, in my opinion, she's a spiritual mentor, relationship expert, and coach, who, in my opinion, has mastered the understanding of what it means to be a spirit, a light, a consciousness, whatever you want to call it, experiencing itself through this human body, flesh, if you will. I've had the pleasure and honor of collaborating with her, working with her. She has helped me tremendously. I've had a lot of help. And I'm so grateful to have connected with her. She's absolutely just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spirit. And you'll see for yourself here in a minute. She's also been, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce this yet, but I know, and I'm going to, she's been working on a book that I'm so excited, can't wait to read. And just immense gratitude for her. So without any further ado, Nicola, are you here with us?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me, Charm. I really appreciate you making the time and the space for this amazing conversation that we're gonna have.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence here on this earth, which is misspelled. It should be called heart. And I speak for everyone when I say thank you for gracing us. And that goes for the rest of the listeners. You're all gracing this beautiful planet with your presence and your energy. So thank you, everyone, for spending your Sunday afternoon with us. Thank you so much. Well, I don't know if you got the memo or not, but this is actually going to be a comedy show. We're just going to say a couple of
Earth. Isn't it always a comedy show? We're just being invited into this play called life.
Mm-hmm. It really is comedy at the end of the day. And what could be more healing than that, my friend? Right? We can, I have a couple of topics that I'm inspired to speak with you about or collaborate with you. And I have a feeling we're going to be on the same page, hopefully. I feel like, you know, a lot of us have gone through maybe the past couple of years, we're realizing that I'll speak for myself. We actually are a consciousness and a spirit and God experiencing itself through this human body. And a lot of us have been awakened to that and have had tremendous healing. And so I'll speak for myself. I started noticing that, okay, I have this healing, I have peace, I get it. Like, I just get it. I get the whole, I understand it. But there was still events, if you will, that were, for lack of a better word, maybe triggering or not of my liking, or I found myself questioning, like, why am I getting, with all the understanding and clearings that I've done, and with your help and many others, why am I still acting a certain way? Why is that movie still playing in my head at it as if it's still happening right now? Why am I making these decisions based on previous experience, if you will? And that's what led me back to you, and thank you so much for helping me with that. So I guess I'm asking, what is it? Like, you know, some of us will go and get healing, however way healing it is, but yet we're still find ourselves making the same decisions. Like, where is that coming from? Why can't we, some of us, move past it, if you will?
Great question. Because it's not just ours. A lot of it's generational and ancestral, where we take it on from not just our familial line, we'll take it on from the collective field or conditioning that we've been told how to be, how to act, how to behave in school, in our society, in our immediate surroundings. So we take on these different thought forms and conditions that they could kind of adapt our behavior from our natural state. There are sort of adaptive ways of behaving that are not always in alignment with spirit, with our true resonance, our soul resonance.
That's so beautiful. It's not in alignment with who we truly are. And so who are we? What does that mean to you? True resonance.
It's kind of like a heart coherence where there's a purity of love that we all came from and that we all are. And often what happens is we forget. We came here to remember who we truly are, which is light, which is pure love. And we have a personality and we have roles, but we are not that. We play those characters out. And so what gets confusing is when I'm looking to get my father's approval for something, and then I'll act a certain way to try hit to get his approval, right? That's adapting my behavior to get something. Or if I want to look good or look a certain way or make lots of money, then I have good reputation, or you know, create credibility that I'm successful because I have all this money and this fame. But it's not, it's elusive. When it disappears, then it just becomes, then what am I without that, you see? So, you know, there's lots of stories where people have gone down that road of fame and fortune and then recognize that that isn't it either. That isn't their path to fulfillment. I'm not going to find happiness and fulfillment in that lifestyle.
Love that.
Requires us to kind of start to investigate differently if we're looking for something that is of substance, that is not going to go away.
Would you say happiness is a state of being regardless of circumstances?
Definitely, and it's a consistent choice, a constant choice that we get to make every day. I mean, this is definitely not the easiest place to live on earth. That's why we
Correct.
call heart. You brought, earth and heart have the same letters, right? You brought that up earlier. And that's why we need more heart to live on this earth, because it can feel pretty rigid and cold and harsh.
God, I love that. I just, I love loving. I just love it. I don't anything, and I'm not saying I've never been in a lower frequency where I've gone angry or resent. I've been there. I've definitely been there. But I just, yeah, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. It's so, again, like if we talk about light, as you were talking about light, I mean, light travels faster than anything. So when there have been times on the show that I've said my goal is to have 1 billion listeners, and I'm sure some people are like, okay, good luck. But in reality, when I speak to you and when I genuinely, authentically, whatever word you want to use, tell you, transmit to you how much I love you. The whole planet just heard it, didn't they?
Well, it just makes my heart smile, from the it's just such a like, when you say it like that and you're really saying it like you mean it and you feel it, I get the transmission immediately.
It's just, it feels normal. It feels like home.
Yes.
There, sometimes I'll have discussions with many people. They say, I just want to go home. I'm done. I don't this I can't. I'm not coming back here. I want to go home. And it's because our I and please interrupt me at any time. It's our natural state of being, of peace and love, is what feels like home. And home is not a geography or another planet or whatever. It's just a state of being, regardless of circumstances, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I feel like, I was just listening to an NDE earlier today, a near-death experience, where this lady had multiple experiences of leaving her body and entering this space of, she called it like she, it was like this warmth enveloping her. Like the love that she'd never experienced. Like, it's almost like the closest love I can say or akin it to is like m mother with her children, that just, or I have it with my puppy. It's just this adoring, deep love. Like, you can't like explain it, but you can feel it. Like, it's a depth of feeling.
Right. It just feels so good.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's almost like a, I hate to call it a drug, but it's addicting and contagious.
Yeah, it's contagious. You had in the lyrics, bring back to life, spirit rise again, bring back to life. Life for me is love, is spirit. And spirit is like that thing that you can experience inside of this love, the life itself, like the aliveness, what brings, the innocence back. And restoring the sacred back to its original form, like can release all the stuff that's getting in the way and recognize that that is our birthright, that is who we are from birth and pre-birth, that we have, so many of us have forgotten that this sacred way of living that is pure and innocent, it's always here. It's what's behind everything. And if we can tap back into that space and release all the distractions and all the drama and all the stuff, the story, that we get to believe. It's like, can we release it all and return to the felt sense experience of the here and now? And inside of that, there's this cosmic silence. I actually have a new poem that I was just writing. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I'm like, oh, that's a great title for a new poem, Cosmic Silence.
Oh, love that. That's just, it's just, I mean, this, what we're talking about is not some woo-woo, like you just can't argue with this. Why? Because it's actually been, it's proven. This is the truth. You're all getting the truth right now. It's, Dr. Emoto. I'm sure a lot of people listening have heard of him. He claimed that, and I don't like the word claimed. For me, this is a factual experiment, that human consciousness, words, and intentions can physically change the molecular structure of water. He did it by photographing frozen water crystals after exposing them to positive or negative words, music, and prayer. I would say intentions, stating that positive energy creates beautiful geometric crystals while negative energy creates distorted shapes. So, as you mentioned earlier, this is a difficult place to be, to be in a state of purity and light and love and peace. It is challenging. However, it's possible, because if water is this powerful, and we're all technically over 75% water, we're just a walking glass of water that is constantly receiving and transmitting, and water has memory. So this is absolutely possible to accomplish here. And so I guess I'm leading into, if that's the case, how do we help or assist or guide, for example, the education system or the workplace area is not always a friendly space. And so I feel like no matter how amazing of a parent one can be, we have our children that are still exposed to that environment where, I don't know, they're being told if you don't turn in your homework, you're X, Y, and Z, or if you don't get your job done right, you're X, Y, and Z. And if we're water and that's getting recorded and water has memory, how do we, I don't want to use the word battle, but what can we do as parents to help our children? I know it's a big question.
Well, it is a
And
big question. And what comes to me is the first, I mean, I'm not here to tell people the answer about everything, but because I love, I'm more in love with the question than the answer. So it's more of a discussion than Ask Lucia, you know.
Correct.
I don't claim to know everything. In fact, I'm having a love affair with the unknown. That's more interesting to me.
Beautiful.
And what comes to me as you say that, and I feel into the question, is to be the example of love, to be the example of change, to be the example of the consciousness, and bring awareness, bring kindness, bring a level of patience and understanding to the space of no matter who it is, no matter if it's our children, our teachers, or the education system, or whatever it is, that we are going through a massive shift. And inside of this shift, we get to be recalibrate and be more understanding and forgiving, right? Ourselves and one another, and how we talk to ourselves, how we talk to each other, how we really open the space to understand where other people are coming from, and learn to listen from our consciousness, from awareness, because awareness itself is neutral. It doesn't have an opinion.
Beautiful.
Start to listen from right or wrong, good or bad, and then point the finger of what you should and what you shouldn't do, and then we're like creating more ripples of judgment and make wrong in the space.
Beautiful. It's absolutely. So basically, I know we're not telling anyone how to do it. I don't have the cookie cutter. There is no cookie cutter. But it kind of boils down to, it feels like, be the example, be healed, mind you, be unconditional love.
Yeah, which to me, another word is presence, to be fully present with whatever you're doing, to be committed. If you're doing the dishes or having a conversation or talking to someone on the phone or driving, that whatever you're doing, you're bringing your full attention to whatever's in front of you. When your child is looking for, some attention, or wants to show you the homework, or needing some assistance, or can you help me? Can you come play with me? That we bring our full attention and focus to whatever we're doing. Like, that is a beautiful example of being the example, of being fully present to whatever we're committed to in the moment.
I love that. It's like wherever you are, be there.
Exactly. Remember Ram Dass, I think it was, be here now. That was his mantra.
And yeah, we're so, it's, I mean, it's not our fault. It's the way the brain works, and it's just the way it is. But it definitely is a muscle that can be trained to be here and not be in the past, which is where a lot of us sometimes can get stuck. I myself was stuck, as you were a witness, and it took a lot of courage for me to talk to you about certain stuff. And you're more than welcome to ask me any questions if you feel it will benefit anyone. But yeah, being here right now, because the past is gone.
Yeah, the past is gone, and then there's just the present. But if we're in our minds thinking about the past or the future, we're not here now. We're not fully being present to this moment, which is where our power is. Our spirit lives, you see. Where life really is existing is right here, right now. The energetic of life itself that brings aliveness, that brings that quality of sparkle,
That's so beautiful. Anything you say is beautiful.
Thank you.
It's like I had a great mentor, a business mentor, but he used to tell me, like, okay, so imagine You're sitting in a room, there's a wall to your left and there's a wall to your right. And on one wall, you have all the stuff you don't want. The debt, the whatever, marital issues, your work, you hate your, all the stuff that you don't want. And then to the wall to the right, envision all the things you do want, the trip you want to take, the money you want to make, the relationships you want to have, all of it, all the dreams you want, I'd like put it on the right. And he used to say, now sit there and try to look at both walls at the same time. And just, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And it's like, it feels like we're not you, but I'm just saying in general, that's what we do. We keep thinking about the past and we're wondering why we are not manifesting our most amazing dreams.
Well, often it's life is sometimes difficult, right? So we get
Yeah.
hurt. And that's also a lesson, is how are we going to navigate the hurt? Are we going to be bitter and resentful and unforgiving, or are we going to learn from the experience of what the hurt gave us? Because there is actually a gift in pain. There is. I know it's sometimes hard to find,
Right.
but there is. And that's, if everything was given to you on a silver platter, we wouldn't really need to grow or learn any. We wouldn't learn anything. So part of the struggle and the suffering brings lessons for our soul to grow.
It really does. I mean, I feel like I'm a perfect poster child for that. And to go from the conversations I've had from you to where I'm in heaven, absolute heaven and grateful for, I mean, I'm not going to really talk about my past, whatever, whatever, but there was definitely a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma. But how am I here talking about it right now? I
Yeah,
had a lot, I had a
courage.
lot of help.
Well, you've also had the courage to meet it and embrace it, and you want to make a shift. You want to change. And that is key. If someone is not willing and wanting to actually meet their stuff, they're not going to really make a shift. It's just going to kind of, after a while, that person's going to feel stuck.
Definitely. Something that I try to do is when something happens, I almost immediately now will recognize that the universe is a mirror. Sometimes it's not always easy to absorb that, and accept it because. Like, oh, I don't like that. How, why is that showing up? Because it's a mirror. It's an absolute mirror. And so I look at that, even if it's something I don't like, and I'm able to actually use it to my advantage to go, okay, something's going on here because this is what's showing up.
Right.
And so you're 100% right. It takes courage and it takes being honest with yourself. It takes a lot of courage.
The courage also to feel the feelings. If you're avoiding having a hard conversation or making the change or entering into the discomfort of whatever it is that's in front of you, it's gonna affect how you feel. And so the invitation is to open your heart and meet life, meet the challenge, meet the resistance, feel it and enter it. Spirit.
Feel the pain.
Feel the pain and enter the resistance, feel the discomfort, sit in it. No running away, because there's really ultimately nowhere to run to anyway.
Oh my God, I would like a master runaway. Because
Because
that's, you
away
know,
from your shadow, you know.
I seriously, how do you run away from your thoughts?
You can't. They follow you everywhere.
Oh, it's like, wait, why is this happening over here? I'm like 10,000 miles away. It's incredible to watch. What an experience. And you know what? It worked for me at the time. I'll be honest, it worked for me because I didn't have these tools. I didn't know anything, so that's what it took for me to, lack of better word, to stay alive. And but it doesn't work anymore.
I remember when I was first on this journey of really wanting to shift my mindset and, you know, get really clear on my internal dialogue and how it was affecting my attitude and my everyday experience. Because I would, you know, replace judgment with curiosity or an allowance and open to like, what is it that I really need to learn here? What am I missing? And so it became more of an investigation rather than getting it right. Because I think that's it's such a big program in many of us is I just want to get it right. I want to get life right. I want to get this relationship right. Or I want to do well in whatever, you know, and then it becomes a perfectionist thing. And that's also, it can be a trap going down that road.
'Cause there is no right or wrong.
Well, to spirit there isn't, to the mind there is. So it's all a matter of perspective, right? Who's looking, and where are you making your decisions from? What are you identifying with? What story are you telling yourself about yourself, or the situation, or the person, right? New information when you recognize what's really happening.
Exactly. We're like meaning-making machines.
Yes, we are. And we all have our preferences of how we want things to go, which can be okay, but that can also get in the way. If then we're in competition, you know, if we can be an openness and recognize I have preferences, you have preferences, Don has preferences, we all have preferences, and understand that we can have preferences, whether they're same or different. The opposite preferences or opinions, can we hold the space, which is neutral, the spirit, the presence, can we hold that space that then the differences can be there without making it right or wrong, good or bad? Can we be that space of neutrality where then the opposing, sometimes opposing preferences or opinions, right? Are in this space. And it comes with a deeper kind of questioning of, I get where you're coming from. Like a deeper understanding, like I'm opening, I might not like it, I might not agree with it, but I can understand it nonetheless, you know? And that creates connection. And I feel like this is what we're learning in the collective field right now is learning how to work through differences and learning how to create connection. Coming from this sense of loneliness and isolation and just doing everything so independently, we're learning how to create a healthy interdependence with the other.
That's 100%. I thought it was just for me, but you're right. It must be happening collectively, or you and I would not be here talking about it right now. It's so beautiful. There's a quote from a movie called Patch Adams with Robin Williams, where he plays a doctor in a hospital. I don't know if you've
I
seen
love
it.
that movie. It's one of my
Oh,
favorite movies.
I adore that movie. And one of the quotes is, you treat a disease, you win. You treat a person, guarantee you'll win, no matter what the outcome. So Instead of treating a disease, when we spread our unconditional love, when you, not you, when we're in a state of love and peace, it travels everywhere.
Yes, and you know what he did, Robin Williams, who played the character of Patch Adams, he saw the person for who they are. He saw beneath the disease, and he brought laughter and humor, and that was his medicine, to see them and to connect with where they were at, so they felt seen and received for what they were experiencing.
Yeah, he helped them get connected with their highest excitement and joy. Like, what, one of them just wanted to swim in noodles?
Right, that lady, she stopped eating and everything, and this one doctor, he couldn't do it, nothing was working. He said, "Patch, I need you," and he knew exactly what to do for this woman to help her come back to herself, so she would choose to keep living.
What an amazing movie that was.
Yeah,
But it's
I wish that would happen all over the world, that we were able to really see each other behind the role, behind the good, the bad, the ugly, that, the being, the divine, the sacred that is in our heart,
Right.
that is longing to be met, longing to be seen, longing to be heard.
I mean, we get sick if we want to do something, if we really desire to do something and we don't do it because of X, Y, and Z, we're gonna get sick, wouldn't you say?
Well, we get sick when we hold everything in. That actually happened to me when I was in my teens. I didn't know how to speak and express myself. That's why, one of my main things is authentic relating and authentic expression, because it's so important that we emote, whether it's through emotions or tears or art or poetry or music or dance or whatever it is, that we're here to release the energy, move the energy. Open to letting go of what we're holding for fear of judgment or make wrong or making ripples or sometimes it's healthy to be a little angry or a lot angry to release the energy. We have in San Diego, I know they have they're called rage rooms where you can throw plates. I've never been, but there are such things. I used to chop wood when I was really angry because it focused the energy, and I could get the energy out. Lots of us do sports or work out or whatever. So sometimes it's writing a letter, to the person that left us, that's no longer here in physical form. Sometimes they're still here in physical form, and we still need to write a letter to get it out, the first draft, so we don't say things that we don't mean. That it's these things are important, that we address our what's inside of us, that we don't hold it back, and so it becomes like cancerous to our cells and our bodies, that we let the energy move through, and so then we get out of our own way, then energy, spirit can reside, and we then can live from that space of flow.
Oh gosh, I love that. Which leads me to, that's okay, your upcoming book,
The permission slip.
Permission Slip.
Yes, it is a permission slip. It was all inspired because it came up when I was a mom, a new mom, and I remember I would feel guilty when I would relax or take a nap. And I'm like, this is crazy. Where is this coming from? I mean, it probably happened before then, but that's one memory I had in this moment. That, and then I did this. I created this game with myself. Anytime I would relax, I would put a rock in this bowl to celebrate that I was doing something to take care of myself.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because, guilt can take over, guilt and shame and all the things that I think I should be doing.
Yeah.
But like just taking a nap, like something so simple, I would just feel so much guilt. And, I grew up with this really strong belief that if you're not doing something of value and being productive, then you're not valuable. You're not contributing.
You're lazy. Yeah.
Whatever that was, right? It's
Right.
you need to be doing something all the time to be of value.
Wow.
And I had to really unlearn that story. It wasn't true that actually through relaxation, I get a lot of my insights. Through relaxation, I get a lot of things that come from, my higher self and spirit. And it's important because when there's a softening and a relaxation, the nervous system gets to restore to its natural balance, and then the energy flows,
Yeah.
and then there's a deeper breath. And then there's an exhale. Everything can relax, and inside of that relaxation, that's where relaxation. That's where healthy relationships can start to form, and feeling safe and open, safe to open my heart can happen, because there's a relaxation that I can rest in. That I'm looking, not looking outside of myself for something that's right here, that I'm
That's
creating.
fine. Yeah, we're always looking for something outside of us.
Yeah, the safe and security, the safety and security. It's like reparenting the little girl that may not have gotten the right parenting, right? Have gotten the right nurturing or love, that there's this ability to say, hey, my presence, I'm here with you, little girl, and you're okay, you're safe with me, and I've got you, and I'm holding you, and it's okay to be afraid, but know that I love you and I'm here. And then I can feel like I can relax. And it's a practice with the little one, the work with the wounded parts of ourselves, that this presence, this unconditional love can support and heal those parts of our humanity that don't feel so safe or easy to stay open or engage with life.
Really, I mean, this subject requires hours and hours of talking about it, but you're doing such a amazing job just with your words and your energy. I feel everyone is receiving your message. Thank you so much. It's not an easy thing to explain sometimes. It's, I was going to tell you a little fun story about permission slip. As soon as you told me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so neat. When I was younger in high school, I was the ditcher. I used to ditch class a lot with my friends, and it was just fun to ditch class and go and eat something because some of us weren't interested or excited about some of the courses. So it was kind of fun. And of course, we'd get in trouble, our parents, and all that good stuff. And so I can't believe I'm admitting this on live radio, but I think it's funny. But I found a packet of permission slips on my teacher's desk one day. And being me, thinking, oh, I'm gonna save everyone, I'll just take it and use it to excuse the kids from class so they don't get in trouble with their parents or school, whatever. Like, it's legit. And so we kind of did that for a minute, and the ones this was what this was the interesting part is they used it for a minute, and then they're like, no, I don't want to use it anymore, I'm gonna go back to class. And they weren't gonna get in trouble, nothing was gonna happen to them, and they absolutely hated or disliked the class they were in, but yet they went back to their old ways thinking this is wrong. Like someone's giving them a permission slip and they won't take it. I was just dumbfounded. Like, Why wouldn't you just take it? You'll be fine. I mean, I got in trouble for it, but they didn't. So it's just interesting, the human nature. Like sometimes you'll give someone a permit, like you're free.
Yeah,
Do
and
it.
it's almost like when there's too much freedom, it's like, well, what do I choose? What am I going to do? And it can feel overwhelming when there's so much freedom.
Yeah. The average person that gets out of jail ends up going back. Why is that?
Because it's scary when there's not enough structure.
It's familiar.
Structure to feel safe.
Correct. And it's all they know.
And we need parameters. We need to know what's expected. Like, and you go to school, the teacher will say, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to have class from this time to this time, and then lunch, and then another class, and then recess or whatever. Then it's kind of, where you are inside of the day. And it's like a recalibrating to, oh, I know what's expected, I can relax. And we're all kind of like that as we grow up, even. And this book is kind of like a path of, from my experience, from my view of what's possible when I really honor myself and live from my authentic power, live from what's authentic to me, my own truth. Because we all have different things, that resonate with us. We all have different preferences, different likes, different hobbies, and it's going to show up differently. So at the end of the book, you'll love this. I have create your own permission slip. I have 10 chapters of what's possible and goes through, give you examples. And then you have an opportunity at the end to create your own permission slip. And writing your own permission slip can really support you to give yourself what you need that feels honoring and empowering to you personally.
This is so cool. So, like, I get to take your book and just hand it out like I did in high school. Like,
Yeah,
here.
exactly. I'm gonna have it on my website. We'll see if I put it on Amazon. I don't know for sure, but I'm also gonna do audio. So that's makes it easy. It's gonna be very simple. Less than 50 pages. It's just more of like a roadmap of what's possible through my own experience of what I've learned. And then saying, here, what would you like to create for yourself? What are you going to choose? Like this quote I have on the last chapter says, I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. That's called. And part of becoming conscious and becoming awake is the having the ability to choose consciously, not live life by default because I'm a victim to my circumstances, but to choose consciously what I'm creating because I'm a co-creator with the universe. And that comes with really saying, okay, what is my intention? What do I want to create? And then taking action, taking inspired action, and that to what is aligned with what my heart is desiring or what I'm intending to create, right? That the how I show up in life and my intention behind my action is really important because, as you say, your words, our intention changes the molecular structure of water. Just imagine if that also changes, our structure of how we relate with one another and the outcome.
That's so true. Like sometimes I experience like just sitting with someone and they may not even say a word, but I can feel them.
Yeah.
Like you just can't lie about it anymore. It's how do you and so others can feel us. That's why I did the work with you because I am committed, as I know you are, to making this world a better place.
So can I do
Right.
an exercise for a minute? Just for maybe a
Please.
minute.
Sure.
So if you were to just close your eyes, those of you who are listening, and just taking a breath. And just dropping into your heart. And tuning in, just asking, what is it that my heart needs right now? What is it that my heart is desiring? And trust the first thing that comes to you. Taking another breath. Now the question becomes, are you willing to put that into action, whatever came to you, that message? And then give yourself a permission slip to follow through and create that for yourself. And taking another deep breath. And gently opening your eyes when you're ready.
Just like that.
Just like that.
It's that easy.
It is.
It really is that easy. And like you said, it's a decision.
Yeah, there's something really powerful about making decisions deliberately. Just choice. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm off to go there. I'm going to go here. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to pause for a minute to catch up with myself, you know, and regroup. And sometimes that takes a minute, takes a few days. It depends on, you know, what you're going through. And I'm going through a huge reset and starting a new chapter and literally birthing a book and opening to honoring what each person is going through, kind of like this, recognizing that there's power in being authentic, there's power in being honest, and it's okay, whatever it is. But when you're not honest and authentic and transparent, it's like, what's there to work with?
Isn't that the question? It's so true.
Especially when it's uncomfortable, like, oh, do I have to face this now? Do I have to have this conversation now? And maybe you think you know what the outcome's going to be. My invitation is to let go of the thinking that you know and open to become curious that you might not know how it's going to turn out. The conversation, whatever it is that you're, you know, avoiding. You know, maybe you need to make a change and you've been, you know, kind of waiting for the right moment, which is there a right moment? Maybe there is, but sometimes it's like, just can I delay it to one more day? Oh, my happiness can wait till tomorrow. Your like freedom can wait till tomorrow. I don't have to feel free.
Isn't that amazing?
Imprison our own minds, but you know, it's you know, habit. It's mostly habit, automatic habit. And by consciously choosing something different, we're creating something new that is coming from a different place, not program, but from heart, from soul, that actually can feed us on a deeper level that isn't just surface, you know. Tense, like everything's okay when it's not. This was another program that I grew up with. You know, how do you speak the feelings, what we're really feeling in a space that it's not, there's no welcoming to authentic relating or authentic sharing? There's no space, then there's no way to get received in a way that's not judging or making wrong, or you should be grateful for what you have. That was another sort of energy stop. Now I can't have the feelings I have, and then I think, oh, my feelings are wrong, or I shouldn't have them. because there's no place to express. There's no
Mm-hmm.
reason that I'm going to feel received and gotten and heard in. And that's such an important, that's also what I do. I'm a sacred space holder where I hold the space for whatever wants to come and be met, and we meet it and let it rise up. And it's all it's going to get is acceptance and love. And then the most miraculous thing happens. You've experienced this, right? Dissolving starts to happen, and alchemizing, a shifting of how it feels in your body. And you're like, whoa. And suddenly the mind is blown. It's like, well, who am I now in this new perspective, in this new space of relating with myself? Because I had the courage to have a look and challenge my beliefs and challenge the status quo and challenge the conditioning that is just so automatic and repetitive that I that has kind of kept me asleep. So the invitation is to check out your internal dialogue, to make a conscious choice of what your heart is longing for, and to give yourself permission to have, to receive, to create what it is that you need, that you're longing for, that your body's longing for, maybe, or that you want to create that you haven't done before. Maybe it's to take a trip somewhere. Maybe it's to go on vacation by yourself, or to take a weekend by yourself. Sometimes doing things by ourselves can help reset the nervous system to come back to yourself, and then you can be a better partner or colleague or, you know, person to be with.
Love, 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 love every second of just collaborating and connecting with you. This has been a beautiful, sometimes painful journey. However, 100% worth it. Unfortunately, we're a little running out of time. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us, helping me, and guiding us, and shining your light on us, and holding space for all of us. It's just been a truly an absolute privilege and honor to have found you, Lucia. You're just a beautiful, shining, loving. You're just absolutely just, and you know I'm not just saying this, you know I mean it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. So blessed to
Oh,
connect with you today. Thank you.
thank you. Love you very much. Love everybody listening. We are really all on the same boat. Whether I've met you, connected with you, talked to you or not, just know that I absolutely love you because I just do. So, with that, get your permission slips ready because we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Give yourself permission to do whatever it is you want to do. And thank you, BBS. Thank you, Lucia, again. See everybody here in 2 weeks. Same time, same place. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Signing off. Love you all.
No more silence, no more fear.